Moving along. So, Don, would you open us in prayer?
Sure. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for your word that we are about to delve into, and we just pray that you would be with each one of us as John speaks to us, and we just pray that your Holy Spirit would help to enlighten us. We thank you for this day, the rain, for the your many blessings, and we give this time now to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Don. So, moving forward as we go down through the armor of God, we've reached the helmet of salvation. So the helmet of salvation is what provided the Roman soldiers, right, with their physical salvation in many cases, because our head is so vulnerable. Well, to the believer, our helmet of salvation is the Holy Spirit within us, okay? And the Holy Spirit is what's going to protect us from the wiles of world, flesh, and Satan if we will just allow it. So, as an application of that, because we're going to try to cover three or four things here, we're going to move forward. We need to stand on our conviction of the Holy Spirit and our faith in God as we go through. So let's look at as our salvation. So as we go through Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Let's just look at that real quickly. And we're going to go through a lot of these that we've been through a few times, but the reason for that is because it's really important to have this right at the front of our heads, okay? So, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, us, to the praise of his glory. Right? So the Holy Spirit has been given to us, and we have it within us, and that is the protection that we have. And it's right here in the Bible. We are guaranteed that inheritance. What is our inheritance?
Heaven.
Our salvation, right? Our eternity with the Lord. So, and what does it say about that? Is it guaranteed?
Yes.
It is guaranteed to believers, correct? And that's, and the believing have the choice to accept that. So, or anybody has the choice to accept to believe. So that promise is made to everybody. Some of us will accept it, some of us will reject it, right? That's the difference. So what we need to remember from that is all of our sins are forgiven, past, present, future, right? We're all clear on that concept. The sins that we will commit are not because we're sinners. The sins that we commit are because we are still fighting the sins that are in our lives, right? And so that's the reason we need the Holy Spirit to fend off all of that and to help us be stronger. So, can we lose our salvation?
No.
Got to be firm on that. We cannot lose our salvation, right? We are now seen as righteous before God. Nothing can change that. Okay, so knowing that, does our life reflect our commitment to God and Jesus, or do we actually at times grieve the Spirit? Okay, let's go to Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. Okay, so therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Okay? Do we at times grieve the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
It is possible to grieve the Holy Spirit, isn't it? So we need to be conscious of that. So moving forward, as we go forward into the weeks ahead and really the rest of our lives, let's make every attempt not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's remember Galatians 5. Let's remember the fruits of the Spirit. Those are the things that are pleasing to God. We don't want to grieve the Spirit by continually making poor choices or letting the world and world, flesh, and devil influence our behavior, correct? So we want to remember at all times the old self has died, the new self is trying to move forward with God. And that is very, very true. And for those of you who have not experienced that, I have experienced that. My old self is gone. I am moving forward with God. Am I still carrying things? Absolutely. Am I still weak at times? Absolutely. But the old self is gone. Now, what happens to us when we remember the old self is gone and the new is moving forward is we're forgetting to leave the habits, the creatures, the relationships, the things that we do in life of the old self. Well, we're forgetting to leave those behind. We're carrying that baggage with us. And we don't have to do that. But that's where we're running into the problems of sinning as the new person, right? We need to leave that baggage behind us. We need to move forward with the good things of God, and we need to leave that stuff behind. And the Holy Spirit can help us to do that if we will call on Him. If we will give them to Him, He will give us the strength to fight that, okay? So we need to remember that. So leave all those new interactions, all those old interactions with people. We need to create new interactions with people. All those old types of conversations, we need to create new conversations. All the old places we used to go, the things we used to do, we need to create new things and new places to go, new things to do that are more honoring of God than are acceptable by the world and the flesh, right? We need to remember to do that. We need to fill those places in our lives then with God. We need to fill them with the things of God. If we don't fill them with the things of God, what happens?
Go back to old habits.
We fall back into what was easy, right? So we need to fill that empty space with God now. And that's a really important key to all of this, is refilling that space with something that's godly and holy and leaving the world things behind. So then the next thing we do is we look at the sword. Now, all the defenses of the soldier have been defensive up to this point, right? They're defending against the attacks of the world, Satan, and the flesh. Well, the sword to us is the Word of God. That is our sword. This is not a defensive battle in this. This is an offensive battle. We need to know the Word. We need to understand the Word, and we need to share the Word. And in that way, we are taking the Word to the world, and we are not allowing the world to influence us. So this is an offensive method for us. It's not a defensive. It can be both, but this is the only one that is primarily an offensive. So it is to go out and share the faith, okay? And the Holy Spirit gives us that strength. So with the Word of God, we are able to defeat our enemies. Jesus showed us how to do that real clearly when he defeated Satan in the desert, right? And he had his scriptures to show, I don't need your water. I don't need your power. I don't need your bread. I have what I need from God. And so he used the scripture to defend himself and to fend off Satan, right? So he was able to do that. We need to do the same thing. So in applying ourselves, we need to be intentional, okay? We need to be in the Bible. We need to stop letting other things take us away, and we've talked about some of those other things that can take us away. We need to be intentional. We need to have a time for Bible study, a place for Bible study, possibly people to do Bible study with. We need to be intentional about living God's Word and learning God's Word. We can't just open the Bible every now and again and pick something out of context. We need to understand this stuff. And so it's really important that we be intentional about our Bible study. And so that's where we are. We need to be prepared when we are attacked. And what did Jesus do? He used, "It is written." Yes.
I was going to mention that being in the Word daily. I remember when I first started going to Bible study, to a ladies' Bible study, I was just amazed. I thought that our teacher just knew had the whole Bible memorized because she could always bring verses out. And I realized after a few years that when you're intentionally in the Bible every day, that God will bring to mind a verse you just read today or yesterday or the day before that you can use in real conversations.
Right.
And so it makes you look like you know the Bible inside out, but in actuality it's because you're living in it every morning.
It's true. It's true. Yes, that's a very good point, Julie. I had that happen to me just yesterday doing my morning devotions, and I didn't think anything about it. And all day long, I thought about it, and now I have something to share with you at the end of this today. And why was it there yesterday morning? I don't know. That was the Holy Spirit who put it right there. But it's exactly what we're trying to accomplish here today. And so that's just God and the Holy Spirit working us together through this. Yeah, thank you, Julie. So the next item that we have to talk about is prayer. And in prayer, we're showing our reliance on God. Right? Through prayer, we turn to God's strength to fight our battles because we are too weak by ourselves. Okay? If we aren't going to use the Holy Spirit and God to help us, to help strengthen us, we're going to be too weak. It's their strength that will get us through. Okay? It's their strength. So we need help in God, in everything we do from God. The rest of the armor without prayer, it's useless. It really is. If we aren't going to pray and make our petitions known to God, if we're not going to share our challenges with Him, if we're not going to share our weaknesses with Him, if we're not going to share the things that are troubling us or wearing us down, then He's not going to necessarily take an active role in helping us solve that. It's all going to be according to His purposes. But prayer works. And God tells us to bring those things to Him in prayer, okay? We need to do that. He will help us find resolution. Will it be the resolution that we want? Maybe. Maybe not. It might not be the resolution we want, but it's the resolution that God wants for us. And if we can be obedient to His leading and His calling, we will see that this is maybe not what I had hoped for, but it's what God has intended for me. And it'll be easier for us to move forward following Him. But that's all about our faith, right? So we need to be in prayer. So how do we apply that? Well, we apply it by we pray when we get up, right? We open our morning with God. We ask for wisdom that we'll need during the day to make good choices. Because God promises He will give us wisdom if we ask, correct? So we ask for the wisdom to make good decisions. We ask for the strength to stay true to His Word, which is where we're pulling in on the Holy Spirit. We ask for the vision to be able to follow where He leads us. Tough. That's really tough. We pray impulsively throughout the day. Are all of us good? Is there anybody here who's good at praying impulsively throughout the day? Yeah. I think most of us are as mature believers. We pray for situations we hear about the news or we hear in conversations. We pray for the people we see during the day who are obviously having a difficult time of something. We don't need to know their need. All we need to do is lift them up. We don't even need to know their name. We just need to pray. God knows who they are, right? Pray for our pastors, our churches, our family, our friends, and even, really tough, even people who have wronged us. We need to pray for them. And that's something that takes habit. And it's not the kind of thing that you're probably going to be able to just go into prayer and say, "Oh God, I want you to forgive everything for them, and I want you to bless them, I want you to lead them around and all." No, you're going to take little steps. You're going to pray that they will see you clearly. You're going to pray that they will hear your voice. And as you pray for the people that have wronged you in small ways, eventually you will have enough forgiveness in you to pray for all the big things, to really sincerely pray for their very salvation, right? So it's I'm not going to say that forgiveness is easy or it's fast. Can it be? Absolutely. It can. If some people can forgive and forget immediately. Most people, it's a struggle. So we start where we can. We pray for the people that have wronged us in the ways that we can, and we pray deeper and deeper and deeper as we feel more and more forgiveness within us, okay? So, before going to bed, we talk to God. Share the challenges you had during the day. Thank Him and praise Him. Thank Him for the things that went well. Thank you for the things that He has done to care for you, for your family, for your loved ones. And whatever is coming on your mind with that, praise God for His greatness. Praise Him for His forgiveness. Praise Him for the grace He extends to us. These are all things. You're going to sleep better. If you're not doing that already, you're going to sleep better, okay? And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to be back in communion with Him. His goal is that we would be communing with Him all day, every day. We know that life gets in the way of that a lot. So at least we need to start with prayer, and we need to end with prayer and thanksgiving, right? Okay? So what we need to really remember through all of this is God has already fought the fight for us. Jesus has already run the battle for us. He has already gotten our salvation. The devil is defeated. We need to trust in that. We need to have the security in knowing that, and we need to not fear. We need to not be worried, not be fearful, not be angry, depressed, all those things, because the Lord is on our side and He's already fought the battle. We don't need to fight the battle, okay? So the Holy Spirit moved me originally to do this study and together to help connect in our minds that several items, okay? So the reason Jesse and I talked about this, and the reason I felt to do this is, one, remind you guys, God is always with us. He will never leave us, okay? God is with us. Two, He has given us the tools to defend ourselves, and all we need to do is learn those tools and apply those tools. He will defend and care for us in that way. Three, we need to take seriously the command to spread the gospel. That is our mission. That is what we are intended to accomplish while we were here. How do we do that? Do we go overseas? Jan and I do that. Do we do it in our community? Well, we like to do that too. Where else can we do that? Those are all places. I know all of you guys are doing that in some ways. What's becoming really apparent in our family and in some other families is we need to get the word out, we need to get the education out, we need to get the right truths about God and His word out to our families. We need to do it. Our children, our grandchildren. If we were not raised with the truth and the importance of the truth, then we need to change that now. We need to say, this is not how it's going to go from generation to generation in our family. I'm going to make a difference, and I'm going to do what it takes to reach my children and my grandchildren. If nothing else, we're going to do that. God put them in our care to help them and to take care of them and to grow them spiritually. Because they have reached 18 doesn't mean our job is done. It just doesn't. Okay, those of you with grown children, has the job gotten harder? It has, because now they've developed their mindset. But that doesn't mean we are allowed and called to just forget about it and just let them go. No, we are never called to just forget and let them go. Brothers and sisters who are not saved, nieces and nephews who are not saved, cousins, family members who are not saved, those are our mission field. If nothing else, those are our mission field. Okay, let's do our mission well. So the fourth thing, we need to remember to live a life that is honoring and pleasing to God. And that is our purpose. We are here to honor God, aren't we? And so our life needs to reflect that. and all our decisions need to reflect that. That needs to be on the top of our mind as we are going forward. I am here to honor and please God. That is my purpose here. That's why he has us here, for his pleasure, correct? Yeah, okay. And number five, this is not the most important, but it might have been the key to making me do this. We need to be prepared because we are under attack, and we need to be prepared for the attacks. And the only way we are going to be prepared for those attacks is by living as righteously as we possibly can, by being in the Word and studying and knowing God's Word, not out of context where we're picking and cherry-picking things through, because that's what people will do to distract us and to make us insecure, is they'll cherry-pick a scripture and say, well, you're saying this, but I know this. And like, well, we need to know that that's being taken out of context. We need to know that they're using a truth as an untruth, right? So we need to know the scriptures. That's really, really important. And we need to be in prayer because things are getting tough. And we need not only to have a habit of praying that we are using as a routine. Now, that works really well with Bible study. But the prayer we do this week may not be nearly the prayer we need next week, right? So next week, step up your prayers. Don't just say, well, I already prayed, nothing's getting better. Well, pray some more, because we've got tough times coming. Some days, some weeks are going to require just extensive amounts of prayer, and that's okay. God wants us to plead our heart to him. He wants us to do that. So remember, pray also as you are needing to pray, not only as you are called to pray and as you feel good about praying. Call as you need to pray. You may need to pray continuously at some times in your life. We've been through that where all we can do all day is function as we have to during the world and pray ceaselessly over things that were happening in our families. I'm sure all of you have been through that at some time in your life. Well, step up those prayers when you're in those times.
Yeah, and just set some time aside for the Lord, in like fast. Mm-hmm. He calls us to fast and pray. So you know, in your ordinary day, you go, I'm going to set aside this amount of time, or this day, or this night, or whatever. And this time of fasting I give to you, you know, please break the, you know, whatever warfare is going on.
Right.
I realize this is taking more than just a simple prayer, but I know you can do that.
Right.
And he loves it when we trust him like that.
Absolutely, and Sherry. So, absolutely. And remember, God calls us to fast. Is it the fasting itself that is helpful to us? Or is it what comes from the fasting? When we're fasting, every time that we're feeling the need to eat, or every time we're feeling the thought about food, what should we be doing?
Praying.
We should be going to praying. It's a tool that we can use that has been given to us to remind us. Pray fervently, okay? And, you know, our body will tell us a lot. Mine tells me a lot when I'm hungry. But it will tell us a lot when we're hungry. And we need to remember, when you're fasting like that, those are your reminders. Pray. Stop everything and pray, right? Very good, Sherry. Thank you. It's another effective tool we have. So those are the reasons why I felt I needed to do this. This story, or this study, was never intended, I hope you guys know, to be a deep theological study. It was never intended to be that way, and it hasn't been. It's been life application. That's what it's been. It's been reminders, and it's been life application. And that is what the Holy Spirit led me to want to share with you. It's intended to remind us that our strength is through God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It is not our strength we're relying on. It's their strength we're relying on. And we need to give our things to them because they will give us superhuman strength, spiritual strength. They will give it to us, okay? We apply these principles that we already know, or at least we have, of our faith and our walk with God, and they will be stronger. And that was the purpose of the study, And that's what I had to share. So before we stop, does anybody have any questions or comments that they would like to share on the study itself, on things they may have gained from the study? Okay. Well, I told you I had something for you. And we can read through this together. Here.
So while you're doing that, I'll tell you that my grandson was, he goes to a Christian school, or he did, and they were studying the fruits of the Spirit. So I asked him, okay, what are the fruits of the Spirit? The verse, so he did, and he goes, you know what? The only problem with that is that when you're done, you have no pants. I don't. You don't have any pants. He was lying here.
Yeah, there was a thought in there somewhere. So I do a devotional, a daily Bible study. This is not mine. I am not plagiarizing or taking something that doesn't belong to me. I'm just sharing this with you guys, okay? And I just thought this was very appropriate for what we have been talking about the past several weeks. So I'm going to read this and read this along with me, okay? My God, I am happy to do whatever you want. I never stop thinking about your teachings. Psalm 48. In the great scheme of things, what significance do the teachings of God in the Bible have for you? Do they take up a central place in your life, or do they have a place somewhere on the periphery of your cares and concerns? Have you reordered your life and your thinking about life in terms of biblical teachings, or have you merely added them to whatever store of thinking you already had about life? Further, are you happy to change your life in terms of biblical teaching? Or is that kind of change too extreme or too difficult for you? Are you happy to do what God wants us to find in the Bible? Or do you bend the meaning of the Bible or ignore some of it in order to accommodate your life as you presently live it? Indeed, do you even take the time to find out what the Bible actually has to say about life? The author of the book of Hebrews believes that Psalm 48 is referring to Jesus in Hebrews 10:7. Jesus, in effect, is taken to be speaking in the psalm, and Jesus makes it quite clear where he stands on these matters. First of all, Jesus believes that the teachings of God are so important that he never stops thinking about them. God's teaching should have a central place in life because there isn't anything in life to which they do not apply. If you are going to think correctly about life as a whole, if you are going to reorder your life on a proper basis, then you must think about the teachings of God, and you must take them seriously. Secondly, Jesus is happy to do what God wants, as defined by God's teachings. It makes no difference if this is thought to be too extreme or too difficult, for it must be done. Jesus made no attempts to bend the meaning of God's teachings or ignore some of them in order to live a life on his own terms and according to his own thinking. Jesus was happy to find out what God has to say about life, and he was happy to do it. God's teaching in the Bible defined the meaning and purpose of human existence. It follows that they should have a central place of importance in our life. And I just thought, that kind of sums up what I've been trying to get at for the last 5 or 6 weeks. So I just wanted to share that with you, and I wanted you to read it with me, and I want you to understand. This is important stuff, guys. For those of us who haven't been taking it importantly, this is important stuff. So thank you for giving me the time. And I'll let you guys go visit, okay? Hang on. Barry, would you pray for us?
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, God, for all you've given us. Thank you for our ability to come together and pray together and support each other as a family under you. We ask you to help us in our daily lives to follow your teachings, and we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Barry.